welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the Lutherific Luke Cuthbert. This week we're talking about Midma, but first we have a wee tea for you.
Oh god, so, this is brilliant.
If you're watching on YouTube, as you should be, or not if that's not your taste, you will see on screen a t-shirt that someone's made with our faces on it.
Yeah, should we tell the backstory of this?
The backstory is we got an email asking if someone could put our faces on a t-shirt.
Yep.
I said yes. And then they sent this.
It's just a white t-shirt with our faces floating on it and nothing else.
I don't think it can be described. I think you genuinely should go and look at this. No matter what you're, if you're driving, it doesn't matter. Hold your phone up in front of your eyes. It's worth it. However many cars pile up, it's worth it.
You'll die happy.
And we've also got a question, Luke. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, you know how to answer this question. Get down to the comments. If you're on Spotify, go to the Spotify answer place. And if you're anywhere else, here is what you do. You need to find someone who deals in illicit materials. I won't say quite which ones, but find them. And then call the police on yourself for looking for illicit materials. Now, that will probably make headline news. People might interview you. Why would someone call the police on themselves for committing a crime? And then you can answer the question in the news. And I'll see it, probably. I don't read the news, but I'll maybe see it.
This is the worst one yet. You've had some bad ones, and that was the worst one yet.
Okay, well, the question is, have you ever tried MDMA? And would you try MDMA therapy? And I think you need some therapy, Luke, because you're a very aggressive person.
I've read a lot about MDMA therapy, and I think I genuinely would try it. It sounds incredibly effective and a good time.
That sounds like something an MDMA addict would say.
Maybe they could do MDMA therapy for their MDMA addiction.
Yeah, I think... You know what, Luke? Let's just start the show. Let's just start. I guess another question for you up top, Luke, is what is MDMA, Midma?
MDMA is...
No, not MDMA, just MDMA, one M. It is, well, two Ms, but...
It is a drug. Uh-huh. It is the kind of like shortened chemical name for what would commonly be called ecstasy on the streets. I'm from the streets.
Streets of Hitchin, mate.
There are streets in Hitchin.
Yeah. They're not selling ecstasy on those streets.
I think they actually are, probably. There's some clubs in Hitchin. Anyway, it's the sort of chemical name that is the drug that is usually called ecstasy. Mm-hmm. What is the name? It's methyl something.
Methylene dioxy methamphetamine. Or more correctly, 3,4-methylene-dioxy-methamphetamine.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's a drug which basically makes you have the subjective experience of ecstasy, hence the name. It's just a very sort of happy state.
It's a very circular definition, Luke. What does ecstasy do? Feels like ecstasy.
Okay, sure. It sort of induces a very sort of happy, sort of euphoric state makes you quite... It's called an empathogen, I believe. It makes you have a lot of empathy for everybody.
Empathogen, I think you mean.
Oh. That's what I said. Is it not empathogen? I thought it was empathogen.
I have the word empathogen. Empathogen could also be there.
Is that what empathogen is as well?
Yeah, a drug that can increase self-awareness and empathy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Maybe you should try some.
I was about to say the same thing. Anyway, I've tried my best. Take the science away.
Yeah, I will take the science away. You have abused it for too long. You're spot on there. MDMA is a drug. Don't do drugs. Unless you do them safely or they're legal, or don't let me tell you what to do, but don't do drugs, probably. So it is a drug. Yeah, it's synthetic. It acts as a stimulant and a hallucinogen to some degree. It gives you sort of energy, as stimulants do. And it can also mess with your sort of time perception as well. You're saying euphoria. You can get a lot more enjoyment of things. Specifically, my notes say enhanced enjoyment from sensory experiences. So that would be, you know, food could taste better, little head pats could taste better. I don't know, all sorts of things could taste better. Or feel better in other ways too. So that is largely it. And we've already covered the sort of increase of self-awareness and empathy. So you might understand why I mentioned therapy up top there. Mm. Now, you said ecstasy. I want to talk about the names and types of MDMA. So I've only got two names for MDMA here. Well, I've got a couple names for MDMA here. But do you know what some of them might be other than ecstasy?
Molly.
Molly, that's correct, yeah.
Rolling? I think that's like the act of taking MDMA.
I think that's if you're taking it. Mandy, perhaps?
Mandy, of course. Why is it just women's names?
Well, I've actually got... I'll tell you about that in just a moment.
Okay.
So first off, before we get into the interesting little bit of women's names, shall we talk about ecstasy?
Yeah, so then ecstasy, I think the one thing I'd say about ecstasy is I think ecstasy is the like mainly MDMA, but it's the pill form. It's when you buy a pill of it. And that's really risky. Like, that is not something you want to be doing because that can be cut with other things.
Reading my notes, mate.
I'm reading your notes, mate.
Look, we're doing this my way, okay? You stop talking for a moment. Everything you said was potentially correct, but we don't know as of yet. Don't do drugs, but if you do drugs, don't do pills.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they can be cut with other things. You don't know how much of the product is in there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the purity.
Mm-hmm.
There's often like sort of, it's a sort of like a race to the bottom in the drug world of just making the experience stronger and stronger. And also, what I'm sure we're going to come on to, MDMA has the particular issue that it's often a different drug called MDA, which you're way more likely to die with.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not getting specifically into that
because,
you know, there's not really much to say there other than
yes.
Don't do pills. Like literally what I've got here is, you know, that any idiot with a pill press can make a pill. And I looked it up. The police might be coming for me. I looked up pill presses because, you know, I've never done that before. Mm. I've never had any need to make a pill. But they're very cheap. Scarily cheap. You can get the cheapest one I saw was about 20-ish pounds. They can go up to thousands, but it looks like you get a decent one for 700. I really did shop around, didn't I? I just wanted to be thorough. But no, it is terrifying how easy it is to buy a pill press. And as I'm saying, any idiot can chuck whatever they want in a pill press to sell it for as much profit as they can. And, you know, again, don't do drugs. But if you do drugs, test your drugs. And do you know maybe the issue with pills and testing them?
I don't know. Or I suppose... No, I don't.
So they're quite difficult to test in that, you know, you can't just take a part of a pill off and then grind it up and test it, because the way that a pill sort of works is that you could have a massive clump of whatever thing or whatever impurity, whatever product in one part of the pill that isn't present elsewhere.
Mm.
So really the safest way to test a pill would be to grind it up entirely so it's no longer a pill, mix it thoroughly, and even then... you might not have mixed it thoroughly enough to, you know, test for whatever it is you're looking for. For example, you know, I mean, I've got a list of things that ecstasy can be cut with. So to be perfectly clear, as you've already said, ecstasy is pretty specifically just MDMA in sort of pill sort of form. And it is the most common way that people use it. But it can be cut with lots of things like methamphetamine. Meth. Not good. Watch Breaking Bad. Look what happens. People do meth. Also, look in real life as well, because Breaking Bad is a television show. Meth is not a good thing to be doing. Not that any of these things are good things to be doing, but meth is particularly harmful to your body. Ephedrine, which is sometimes used as a sort of diet drug, but it can be used as so many other things. Heroin.
Oh.
You like a little bit of heroin, Luke?
No.
No? No one any with your MDMA?
Me.
No? Okay, that's fine. PCP.
Oh.
Very safe.
No.
No?
No, no.
Oh, yes, you're so right. PCP is dangerous also. Cocaine.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a good time.
Yeah, you don't want to mix cocaine with Midma, because seriously, you don't want to mix many of these things with MDMA.
You don't want to mix anything with anything. That you're no, definitely making it more risky.
No, yeah, yeah. You are so right. We'll get, like, I've got so much more on MDMA and mixing later on, because that is, it's something. We'll get to it. Ketamine.
Oh.
Which is...
That's an upper and a downer.
It's a tranquilizer for cats and horses and other such animals and creatures.
Yep.
It's like an anesthetic. So with ketamine, you know, there's this concept of like a K-hole. I've heard people say there are different levels of it. Look, I went to university, okay? Lots of people were doing ketamine. I've had many descriptions of what ketamine is like. And you know what? Not that I'd ever want to do really any drug, but ketamine is particularly one where it doesn't seem appealing at all on the face of it.
Yeah.
First, you're drunk, apparently. And then I don't know after that. And then at some point you could just leave your body.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound fun, right?
I went to Oxford University for a bit and not to do a degree, just to hang out.
Yeah.
And flipping everyone was doing ketamine there. So much ketamine. Like, insane. Yeah.
Explains a lot about our political system, doesn't it? yeah, so ketamine, caffeine as well.
Oh, dangerous? Yes,
very dangerous. Like, I don't think people understand how dangerous caffeine is as a drug. I actually have some caffeine pills here, which I was going to use yesterday because I was feeling tired and I had work to get done. And I chose not to because whenever I have caffeine, specifically whilst I'm on my ADHD medication, heart does not enjoy. I mean, they specifically say don't do that. And even sometimes, you know, a bottle of Coca-Cola could set me off. No, we're not. No, I'm not even going to put that shot in, Luke. if you're listening or watching, you've just seen me for this entire bit because I refuse to show Luke doing product placement for an evil company.
I'm just having a drink. I'm just having a drink whilst being filmed.
Okay, sure. Arthur Braxton 2, The Quest for Coca-Cola is coming out when? no, so caffeine is actually quite dangerous. You know, it's not terribly difficult to overdose on it. I mean, I think you may remember that story of... I think it was in a university, they were doing a study and they accidentally, you know, I think added a zero to the caffeine, or did it in grams instead of milligrams or something, you know. I mean, obviously those are large differences there that we're talking about. But it can be very bad for you. I mean, I know someone in school who had a caffeine addiction in high school and was told by their doctor that they weren't allowed to drink caffeine for a while and then had to limit it to like one, two, maybe two cups. It's cups a day. It's so addictive. It can be very harmful, especially mixed with MDMA.
And that extra zero is what's in Coke Zero, which is why it's so dangerous.
Right. Okay. You can't just do product placement and then walk it back by insulting another... No, go on. Carry on.
That's all I had to say.
Is that it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just keep it that way.
Just a little joke.
No. No, I'm joking. No. So, yeah, there's lots of things that it can be cut with. And so the big takeaway is, again, don't do drugs. But if you do drugs, be safe in doing drugs. And don't do pills. Don't take a pill in Ibiza.
Yeah, don't buy a pill off some random person in a club.
Don't buy a pill off of anyone.
But especially not some random person in a club.
Oh, yeah. Don't buy anything off of some random person in the club. That can't end well. In any scenario, really, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so that's ecstasy we've done there. Not, no.
Wording.
We've covered.
Yeah.
On our
covered ourselves science, in ecstasy.
No.
Yep.
On our scientific educational podcast, YouTube, please watch this part in particular. Very educational. No promotion of naughty things, not at all. That sounded sarcastic, but it's not. I just feel very uncomfortable. So shall we move on to the ladies?
Yeah, go on.
Molly.
Yeah.
So do you know why Molly is called Molly? I find this out. It's amazing.
So my one thing which I know about MDMA, or think I know about MDMA, is there's a dude in the mountains. Is this okay? Am I going the wrong way? There's a dude in the mountains I read about once where he just lives in the mountains with his wife. And he just makes new drugs and he tests them on him and his wife. And I'm wondering if maybe, like, I think some of the like, psychedelic drugs were invented by this dude in the mountains who just makes, he's just got a chemistry set and he makes drugs. And I wonder whether his wife was called Molly or Mandy. And your face is telling me I'm completely wrong about this. So this is just a fun side quest for you.
That is a wonderful story. I love the idea of the wizard who lives in the mountains, the alchemist, producing new substances to share with the world. That is a fantastical story. It's not remotely relevant.
Okay.
It's Molly is sort of the crystalline powdered MDMA, right? Uh-huh. So it's just the crystals of it. It comes from molecular, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah, like molecular, because it's not in a pill. It's just molecules making crystals.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
my story was better. Let's go with that.
Well, I thought that molecular shortened to Molly was pretty cool, but I suppose a magic man living in the mountains making hallucinogenic substances is more interesting. But then anything can be more interesting if you just make it up. So
it's true. That's actually true. I don't know if it's true about Molly. I don't know if you, but it is true that dude exists/existed and just tested a bunch of things on him and his wife.
Look, I am not disputing the fact that there is probably a madman living in the mountains making random alchemic, you know, combinations and testing them out on himself.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people like that throughout history. Many of them died. But it sounds so made up. And the thing is, it sounds so made up that I can't help but believe it, because of course someone would do that.
Yeah.
There's like someone who is into psychedelics would absolutely just live in the mountains alone with his wife and make more psychedelics. That's entirely the vibe. I'd surprise he doesn't have a YouTube channel, to be perfectly honest with you, Luke. Molly is the crystal powdery form of it. So it's not in a pill. It's powder, essentially. Now, it's also important to know, don't do drugs, that some people think Molly has fewer to no impurities, but don't do drugs. That is, in fact, don't do drugs. Not actually true. There can still be tons of impurities in the powdered form. Don't do drugs. it might be easier to spot certain sort of obvious differences or test for certain things because, you know, as a powder, it's likely to be more thoroughly mixed. And, you know, you're going to be able to probably tell baking soda from a crystal.
Yeah.
Right. But obviously, drug dealers are probably a bit smarter than that and aren't just cutting. There are some really dumb drug dealers. Yeah, so I imagine some people would try to cut something with something else that looks entirely different.
Yeah, but also all that's all the same. Like it could, yeah. Just because it looks like a crystal doesn't mean it's the same crystal that you wanted.
Yeah, that is a very important point to make. Thank you, Luke. Yeah, that is, that's one of those things where you kind of think, like, as someone who has, I guess, done science in university, I know that lots of different things can look very similar.
Yeah.
I know that many crystals can look very similar. I know that something that looks like salt can actually be deadly. You don't want to. And, you know, if you see a lovely silvery cheese, you cut with a cheese knife, it will explode. It's lithium. Don't do that. Don't do it. It looks like. Have you seen what lithium and cesium look like?
Yeah.
They are like soft cheeses, but silver. They look fantastic. I want to put them in my mouth, but my head would quite literally explode. That's the way I want to go. I just want to see what it's like. It would be horribly painful, but it's the way to go. It's never risk-free with street drugs. And to be honest, it's never risk-free with any drugs, whether over-the-counter or from another place, you know, all of the places that you can legally
over the counter
drugs.
Or under the counter,
that's illegal. But my point is, you know, there's always risks when it comes to any drugs, even ones that are, you know, medicines, you know, and specifically with street drugs, there's no quality control, right? And even if the chemical in and of itself is relatively safe, which, you know, we'll get onto that later, MDMA is actually, as a recreational drug, pretty bloody safe. It's a relatively safe drug to do, right? But a lot of the risk comes with, as you said, Luke, mixing it with other things, and also the inherent risk of, you know, getting it from an unreliable source, which there is no reliable source to get any sort of illicit drug, really, right? You cannot trust people who have absolutely no regulations. That Molly would be the molecular form, ecstasy would be the sort of pill form. Both of them are very dangerous. Don't do drugs, but if you do drugs, do them responsibly. Test, you know, do them with other people around you who are aware of it. Don't lie to doctors. Maybe lie to police. I don't know, but probably don't lie to police. That one's up in the air. I can't really say about that one, but don't put yourself in jail for drugs. That's a silly thing to do. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's never going to be 100% safe, but if you absolutely must do this thing, do it in the safest possible way. Test, be with people, don't lie to doctors, and don't mix it. Yeah. Yep.
I think that's good advice.
Thank you, Luke.
You should make a flowchart. Don't do drugs. If no, then test it. If yes, do it with friends. If yes, don't lie to doctors. Are you in a hospital? Tell the truth.
Oh my God. Yeah. Always tell, and not just doctors, nurses, paramedics, any medical, they need to know. Always. And yeah, should we maybe get on to the history of MDMA?
Yeah, I want to know how old it is.
Well, look, it's a certain age between old and not that.
Ah.
Would you like to take a guess as to where and when it was? Do not say a madman in the mountains.
Okay, I'm going to say the 70s.
Do you know what? You'd be dead wrong. It's actually much older. Do you want to hazard? Look, I'll tell you, it was made in Europe. Do you want to hazard a guess at the country? And I'll give you another clue. It is the least sort of MDMA country that you could imagine, I think, in Europe.
Everyone's really sad there.
No. When I say least MDMA country, I mean it doesn't fit the sort of, I guess, national stereotype of this people.
Like Norway, Finland.
Okay. Similar vibe. Okay. Not sort of Scandinavia.
Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Okay. The opposite end of the
France.
Of that vibe. Really? You think France is similar? Okay, it's Germany.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? How is a similar
vibe?
Yeah,
I get
vibe?
You. Yeah,
you
yeah.
Get, like,
yeah,
you feel, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
practical, you're... smart people.
Yeah.
No bullshit. Getting on with stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They don't need no MDMA. They're German. They're just happy with life as it is. So they made MDMA.
So clearly not happy with life as it is.
Well, it was chemists, and you know how chemists are. Do you know how chemists are?
I know how chemists are.
Really? So you've asked, because it doesn't seem like you have. You should check in on your local chemist and see how they're doing. No, so German chemists synthesized MDMA. It was 1912. That they did this. So a lot of time before you said the time was. I could do that sentence again. Don't want to. It was a long time before. Oh, I messed it up again. You said the 70s. This is 1912.
Yep.
There's a lot of years between those two.
Yeah. But what did they do with it? As soon as they got this chemical?
They dropped me. They were pinging. No. imagine. But seriously though, right? Like, it would be insane to synthesize a drug. And, you know, we've done this story of man who synthesized LSD and then tripped balls.
By accident.
By
accident. Yeah.
It would be insane to accidentally or intentionally invent a drug with, you know, unintentional side effects and try it. And it's like, oh, wow, this is the best experience of my life. I mean, based on, you know, how MDMA is supposed to make you feel.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine, you know, if you've never had anything like that before. Which it seems there's not really a lot that was around then that has that MDMA sort of like kick.
Sure, yeah.
That'd be insane. You'd be like, oh, I've just invented happiness.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess the good thing is that this one's quite hard to accidentally ingest.
Unlike, that's so
unlike
true.
LSD. You can't you can't be like, why am I suddenly so happy? Why do I love everyone? Why am I really empathetic?
No, that's very true. That's very true. So they were trying to make different medicines to stop bleeding. And they accidentally made ecstasy.
Oh my gosh. It's like when you make medicine to try and make your heart better and you give everyone a boner.
Well, I think Viagra also does work as heart medicine.
Yes.
It's just people are more interested in hard dicks than healthy hearts.
It's like there's a drug you can take to have thicker hair called
Minoxidil.
There's a drug you can take.
No.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
No.
All right. We're leaving my mistake in. And it was invented for, I think it was for heart stuff as well. And then it just made everyone really hairy. Like they were doing these trials and everyone was like, why am I really hairy? Because it doesn't just make your hair thicker on your head. If you take it as a pill, it makes your hair thicker everywhere. So all these people on this clinical trial were just like getting real hairy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no. I mean, it's used with other medications to treat high blood pressure. apparently, which is mad, yeah. And it's also being looked into as a treatment for ovarian cancer as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane that one... It's hairy drug, fix ovaries, heart better.
That'll be a real problem, though, because I think minoxidil, or whatever it's called, is usable by both sexes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously the uptake of it is slightly lower in women because they don't always want to get hairy.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's good for ovarian cancer, that may well be helpful, but it is going to come across the issue of, like...
Hairy ovaries.
Women don't want to... Women generally don't want to be hairy. So yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, potentially the way that it's applied.
With, yes, or the dosage.
I think, and I may be wrong, but to my knowledge with minoxidil, because I think that's what, like, sort of Rogaine or whatever, it's like a lot of the hair stuff that has minoxidil in. I think it's a topical thing when it comes to stimulating.
No, you can take it as a drug for, you can take it for as hair
an,
as well.
As, yeah. You can take it as an oral supplement. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh wow, I didn't know that.
But the difference is that when you're doing it as a topical thing, i.e. you're putting it on your head, it just works on your head.
Yeah.
When you take it as a pill, your whole body gets hairy.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh wow, good to know. Thank you, Luke.
Good to know.
I don't know how to respond. You're not usually bringing such great information. Usually it's things like madmen and mountains making you know, psychedelic. I don't know.
Well, I got a hit sometimes.
Just like the madman in the mountain. Gotta take a hit every now and then. But yeah, no. So MDMA, made in Germany. Now, it was patented by Merck. Do you know Merck?
Like Mercedes?
Oh, no, Merck, M-E-R-C-K. I have only just now realized that perhaps the reason I know this is because I study biotechnology.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
I didn't know that. I was genuinely going to, like, in my notes, when I was going through them, I was like, oh, should I give a description of what the company is? I was like, no, it's a pretty well-known company. I mean, all my peers seem to...
Oh, my...
No, it's just the people I remember from uni. Anyway, so it was patented in 1914 because it might have had, you know, some kind of medical usage or whatever. So they were like, yep, slap a patent on that. Ain't no one else allowed to make MDMA. See how that one worked out. right. but it wasn't looked into as a sort of medicine for quite some time, many decades, almost as many decades as, you know, were between your initial guess and and the actual time. I mean, almost exactly that many decades. So it was around about the 70s that started happening. But before that, during the Cold War, you know, the Cold War?
Yes.
You know, that period from like 1947 to like 1991, where like Russia and the US were saying, my penis is larger. And the other one was like, Russian accent?
My penis is larger. How do you do a Russian accent?
Well, I don't know. That's why I asked you.
Oh. Yeah.
Imagine a Russian accent. So that was that point where, you know, America was like, I'm better than you. And Russia was like, no, I'm better than you. And there was like, okay, well, why don't we get other people to fight for us? And they were like, okay. And then it just kind of ended.
Fizzled out. Yeah. Maybe what they needed to do was America and Russia needed to take some MDMA together and have a chat.
Yeah. Just sit down. Like, everyone, you know. Like.
Group therapy. America and Russia.
Here's an idea. I don't know. I think that before doing any, like, wars or anything, you know, like that, where you send lots of your people to die and kill other people and also other people who just aren't really all that involved, they're doing all of that. The world leaders should just sit down with some Mandy and chat it out. Just see if they can reach a common ground. And if they can't, then they fight to the death. Between themselves. No more.
We've got to put this in the definition. Did you do it in RE, in like religious education? Did you learn about like a just war? Like when a war is like just, as in like when it's like acceptable to have war. There's a bunch of rules about like when something is a just war. I think it comes from possibly in Christianity. Anyway. You should
a just
add,
war is when it's for God and God says it's okay.
No, that's not what I mean. You could add a new step. It's like, okay, you've tried politics. You tried like sanctions. Now your next step is like, okay, take MDMA together and chat it out. If that doesn't work, war is fine.
Dude, a just war, according to the BBC ethics, is the just war theory is a largely Christian philosophy that attempts to reconcile three things. Taking human life is seriously wrong. States have a duty to defend their citizens and defend justice. Protecting innocent human life and defending important moral values sometimes requires willingness to use. That very easily could just be God's, because God said.
Yeah.
The moral values part.
And frequently was.
And frequently is.
And, well, yes, is.
Yeah.
Present tense. Yeah.
Probably will be too.
Yeah.
Anyway, instead of wars, Molly then fight to the death. That's what I think. That's how we should solve all international conflicts. And then if they want, the vice presidents or vice whatever the UK, do we even have someone to step in?
Yeah, the deputy prime minister.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's that right now?
I think it's, who's that dude who's, no, he got done for bullying. It's not him anymore. I don't know who it is.
Hard to find a Tory that didn't get done for bullying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever. Deputy Prime Minister.
It was Nick Clegg under the coalition.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Right. You should have just said Nick Clegg. They should call it that.
No.
That's fine. Yeah. If the leader fails in the fight to the death, then the next person in line can step in and so on and so forth until, you know, I don't know, all of the horrible world leaders have offed themselves and...
Oh,
then we go live in peace.
So when you say fight to the death, you mean between the two prime ministers?
Oh, yeah. Was that not clear?
Oh, I thought you meant like you just have war.
No. I mean a literal fight to the death between the two heads of state.
I think that might mean that people start electing just big, strong men as their leaders.
Yeah, that's, what's wrong with that? I think Dave Bautista would be a fantastic leader.
Well, we would lose all of our wars right now with our prime minister.
What? Don't say that. He would lose. It would at least put an end to Eton Boy is going to, you know, becoming prime minister at least.
True.
You know,
because
I mean, none of them are. I mean, rugby boys maybe.
I think Boris would have done all right.
I think Boris would crumple. You know what I mean? I think Boris looks intimidating, but I think he's like a wet bag of air. Moving on back to MDMA, I guess. Yeah, so during the Cold War, wow, what a tangent we went on. During the Cold War, it was the army and the CIA. They were trying to use MDMA for, what can you imagine?
Mind control?
Not quite that. Well, yes. I mean, a psychological weapon, so I guess mind control could also be a psychological weapon, but just generally as psychological weapons. And then you're so right. It was MKUltra in around the 50s. We did an episode on MKUltra. They were using MDMA to try and control minds, because it's just what the CIA does, I suppose.
They tried to do it back then anyway, quite a lot. I don't know if they do it still. We'll find out probably in the dossier that comes out in 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, do they really need to try all that much? Is TikTok not controlling our minds right now? Pulling us like puppets?
The Chinese have got this. We can sit back.
You know what? Here's the thing. As with all of history, right? You know, we Westerners, we convince ourselves we invented. And it turns out, actually, no, China had it all along. Just like the printing press. Is that racist? I want to be clear. This is a pro-Chinese innovation argument. On top of a joke about TikTok. We'll see if I get cancelled.
Let the hive mind decide.
Sure. Let the mind control masses. I want to be clear. I don't think that China is using TikTok to control people's minds.
No, just,
they don't
just
need
dissolve
to do
them.
I don't think China's doing it specifically.
No.
No, just more so than Facebook.
Just the economic incentives.
Yeah. Every social media website, except for YouTube. Oh, YouTube's great. YouTube is making things better. Shall I continue?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the 70s, it's not when MDMA was invented, you fool.
Okay.
You imbecile, Luke. It was when they started using it in therapy, though. Psychiatrists started using
it. Right. Because this is around the time I think they were also playing with psychedelics in therapy as well. And they thought that LSD could be used to sort of simulate schizophrenia to help a therapist understand what that would be like and better empathize. That was like one of the theories, I think.
Yeah, man, like, you know what? Actually, no, we should expense this LSD. Why am I taking? Well, yeah, you see, I'm taking it to understand my patients. Why are my friends? You see, I need to take it home to me and my friends so I can understand the experience of having loved ones who have schizophrenia. It's got nothing to do with it being a good fun time. not anything at all. Genuine actual conversation. That was a quote I just read from the 70s with
from the 70s.
Yeah,
that was the 70s speaking.
That was the entire 70s. I mean, okay, so I should be clear, there is a basis of fact, a nugget of fact hidden within that joke, wherein no, genuinely, there were scientists who were studying LSD who just started to take it and use it with their friends. And that's kind of how it became.
Really?
Yeah, we did that. Wow. We covered this in the LSD episode.
Brilliant.
That's kind of how it became a recreational drug, LSD, because people researching it were just using it.
That's so funny.
It's hilarious. Like, it's don't do drugs. Be safe if you do. Drugs are bad. But that is brilliant. Like, I don't. Yeah, sure. I'm not saying that. You know, the idea that it could simulate schizophrenia was made up entirely by scientists wanting to use it. That was a joke. But yeah, no, they were using sort of psychedelics in therapy, and there's been kind of a resurgence of that lately, I think, as well. You know, what with the war on drugs kind of going down,
completely failing.
Yeah, I mean, well, actually, that kind of brings me on to, you know, the 80s. So if we just quickly run through what we've done, the 50s, that had the first sort of toxicology studies of MDMA through, you know, MK Ultra and all of that, when CIA and an army were trying to control minds. And then the 70s, psychiatrists were also trying to control minds, but like good, in a good way, to make people happier.
Yeah.
And not make them good little Americans. And the reason they did that was it kind of made people more communicative, and like more willing to participate was the idea. And then that brings us to, you know, the 80s. That's when it kind of became the popular party recreational drug that we kind of really know it as today, right? And then in 1985, what do you think happened during Reagan's pregnancy?
Reagan got baby brain and he was like, we need to make all this stuff illegal.
During Reagan's presidency?
So Reagan basically blanket outlawed everything. In the war on drugs.
Yeah, how did that war go?
It has failed, broadly speaking.
Is America good at winning wars?
Not this war. Not some of the other wars, actually, either. They've won some, they've lost some.
And I can guarantee you right now, there is an American typing in the comments, we saved your asses in World War II. Gotcha, buddy. But yeah, no, the war on drugs. The US decided that MDMA was Schedule 1, which means, Luke?
A drug with no proven medical benefit.
Yeah, high potential for abuse, no real sort of medicinal value, generally. Which is a weird thing to say for a drug that's been, you know, studied for its for its medical value.
Yeah.
It's like marijuana. It's like, very illegal, no medical value. Anyway, it's legal for medicine now, but it's still the most illegal thing if you don't need it for medicine.
And also, you're not allowed to check if it has any medical value.
No.
It's going to make it really hard for you to check if it does, if we were wrong.
It wasn't until the early 1990s that the FDA approved human trials, literally the first sort of human trials, I think, in America, looking into whether it could relieve pain for the terminally ill, and then also for, you know, something to help with psychotherapy as well. And yeah, that's kind of the history of MDMA.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I think it is, but it's rather quiet this time.
Well, Luke, we want to keep a big old secret about this Psy Guys merch.
Yes. Please do not tell anybody and do not purchase any of it. Otherwise, people will find out.
They might see you wearing our merch or displaying our merch and think, oh, wow, what a cool person. And I'll tell you this, as a cool person myself, having people think you're a cool person can be very, very stressful.
Yeah, we can't have that. And we also can't have you supporting the show to exist that you're enjoying right now.
Yeah, so absolutely, under no circumstances should you go to normalcitizen.store and pick up some Psy Guys merch. Some Psy Guys merch like beanies and posters and t-shirts and calendars and cool stuff like that. Definitely don't go to that store and buy that.
Goodness me, that's an awful lot of stuff that I'm not going to purchase.
Absolutely, Luke. Now let's get back to the show before anyone listens to us.
God, I really hope we got away with that one.
So, Lucas, would you like to talk about the effects of MDMA?
Yes. Shall I have some guesses?
Have as many guesses as you please, so long as it's less than the number that I have decided you can have.
How many?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, I'm going to guess.
Too many!
Oh.
No, go on.
You got me. Okay, I'm going to guess makes you feel very happy.
Yes.
Makes you want to talk.
Yeah.
Makes you very thirsty, I've heard. People like drink a lot of water and that's one of the reasons they die.
Yeah, okay. Right, I'm glad you brought that up. So that's kind of in the risks section, which we'll be getting to in a second. So yeah, let's quickly just run through sort of the effects, right? So usually you take it, usually when it's taken in a sort of pill form, right? It'll take about maybe 45-ish minutes, 45 to an hour, 30 minutes to an hour, that kind of range, right? To start to hit, as the druggos would say.
Yep.
I'm from the streets. I know the lingo.
No way, like me. The Hitchin streets.
Yeah, but I'm from the rough streets of Dundee.
Ooh, them real streets.
Yeah, I could see Curtin Asda from near where my house is. And if you know Dundee, you know Curtin is, it's rough.
Whoa.
So anyways, doxing myself. Joking entirely. apparently about 15 to 30 minutes after you sort of first start to feel the effects, that's the peak. And then that lasts about 3 hours. And then you can have side effects for quite some time afterwards, often known as a come down.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because you've gone up.
Yeah.
And then what goes up must come down. Yeah, very good, Luke.
Yeah, that's what that quote was about, wasn't it? It was about MDMA.
I mean, I genuinely, I don't see any reason there wouldn't be. What else would go up and come down? Name one other thing.
Tennis ball.
Then go up, it goes along.
If I hit it up, it goes up.
No, it goes down and then it goes up and then it's hit again.
I don't think you've ever played tennis.
I've played tennis exactly one time in my life. Oh. It was a competition and I came second.
Who else was in the competition?
Well,
if you only played once.
Well, look, many people, including people who are very good at tennis, I think almost nationally good, none of them scheduled their matches. I played one and lost, so I came second.
Was there only one match?
Yeah, because no one scheduled their matches.
Oh.
So I played the only match and I lost.
So what you're saying is you came last?
No, because everyone else came last by default.
No.
And I came... No. They were still in the tournament.
No way!
It's just one match got played and so I came second.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Not as good as... Have you ever come second in a tennis competition? I don't think so. Anyway. So people will usually take one to two pills, you know, when they're going out on for perhaps a night on the town.
On the Raz.
Yes.
Yep.
To roll in the deep.
That's what that song's about, isn't it? Adele.
More like a pill. Anyway.
Yeah.
This has gone very much off the rails. Do you know, with the episodes that are coming out later this month, I'm actually very worried that people will look back on this one and make connections that aren't there.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's if you made the connection from those other episodes, this one's not
true. That's not.
It's not true.
So not. Yeah, so usually those pills will have like 50 to 150 milligrams of MDMA, apparently. Again, this is all from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And so when I'm researching episodes on drugs, I find that there's a difficult line to walk, right? So I will see things in research papers that I would imagine are slightly less biased. And then I'll go to sort of drug websites from governments or sort of national institutions. And they're maybe slightly more measured, but I say slightly more measured. They're maybe still measured, but leaning slightly more on the side of drugs are a societal problem and we should convince people to not do them, which I'm not saying I'm against. I'm not explicitly saying I'm against that, but it is a difficult line to walk to try and find the information that is sort of, you know, correct without trying, that doesn't have a sort of element of fear mongering.
We had a good one in the UK called Frank for a while. We'd talk to Frank. And that was like a very non-biased, like very like down with the kids kind of website that was just straight information of like, these are the effects, these are the possible risks. I think it also did frankly say like, this one's actually kind of safe. This one's actually not safe.
Still exists, yeah.
Because I think it's important when you talk about a drug being dangerous and like you're saying this drug's actually dangerous, you have to have also said which ones are not.
Yeah.
Or comparatively not, because otherwise no one's going to trust you.
Because invariably what's going to happen is a kid who's told, don't touch weed, don't touch cannabis, it will kill you, you will simply die, tries it, and then is like, oh, they lied to me about that.
Yeah.
What else did they lie to me about?
Everything.
And it's the same It's the same thing you see with cults almost, right? You know, if it really doesn't, it takes a lot to break someone out of a cult, but it could also be a sort of like, here is one big lie you've been told, and then you then have to question everything else. And I think you know, I'm glad we're talking about this because I think it's actually that war on drugs mentality of every drug is evil and unsafe. Bad idea. Because some drugs, like, honestly, very, very unsafe, like, very, very dangerous. And, you know, no one should ever even consider going near mm-hmm. them. And other drugs are safer. So, you know, again, I'm not recommending that you do them. But if you're going to do them, there are ways of doing them safely, sort of recreationally, right? Like, and it's not necessarily going to hugely impact your health or your lifespan or all of these sorts of things. But when you start saying all drugs bad, you kind of tar them all with the same brush. And when you find out, oh, well, this one is actually relatively safe, you then think, well, maybe I should try meth.
Yeah, I read a really good story once about this on, it was a person posting on Reddit who said, I was once walking in a park and someone said, would you like some heroin? And I genuinely had never tried any drug. And I was like, oh, well, I can just try it once. And then they were like, 2 years later, I'm still hooked on heroin.
Yeah.
There are some things I think that are genuinely so dangerous for your reward system in your body that, like, people who talk about doing heroin, they're like, nothing feels good ever again.
Yeah.
Because nothing will ever feel as good as that felt. Like, that's dangerous as hell. Like, you need to be able to still want... It's like the story we talked about, the rats who took heroin.
Mm.
The rats, like, oh, the experimental rats who took heroin that lost interest in drinking water because their
so
whole
good,
reward
apparently.
System was so screwed that they don't even want to drink water anymore.
Yeah, and it's a weird one, right? Because heroin... Because there are sort of different ways that sort of drugs act, right? I think that heroin is one of those drugs wherein... people do it your life isn't about sort of, oh, this thing is something that I enjoy, you know, like, let's say, like, alcohol for some people can be something wherein, oh, if I drink this silly fizzy liquid, it makes me feel funny for a bit, and that's quite enjoyable.
And I talk to people better.
And it can have these effects and all that sort of thing. Whereas, you know, there are things like heroin and also alcohol wherein your entire life revolves around reaching the feeling that you have on that, because it's not just like, oh, this is modifying how I feel or like amplifying how I feel. It's like hacking into my brain and giving me experiences that I literally cannot remotely experience without having this. And I want it all the time because nothing, do you know what I mean? Like, and that's not to say, oh, some drugs are good, some drugs are bad. It's some drugs are safer and others are less safe. Some drugs are more addictive, others are less addictive. And yeah, it just lying to people to try and control them. It's the worst possible thing you can do. Be open and honest and say, look, if you try this, you're not going to die probably, but here are the potential effects of it. Because, like, no one wants to get hooked on heroin. Like, you know, it reminds me of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right? Like, there is this sort of running plot line that pops up every now and then wherein two of the characters are just addicted to crack and... not addicted in the sense that they're using it constantly, but any opportunity they have to, like, have, you know, to have some crack, they're going to have the crack. And that all stems from one episode wherein, this is a very silly show, from one episode wherein they wanted to get on benefits. And so as a last resort, they were like, well, if we're addicted to crack, then we'll be on benefits. So they just tried a little bit of crack to prove that they had crack in their system. And then ever since that episode, every now and then it pops up. As a joke, as a running gag, but it's like, when I see it come up, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it, that, yeah, if you get, you know, off of it, it's not going to mean that you don't want it going forward. But you're saying talk to Frank. I didn't actually use talk to Frank because I just prefer sort of scientific sources and stuff like that, like, you know, and National Health Service and National Institute of, like, was it drug abuse and all of those sorts of things, right? But I've got Talk to Frank up here right now. It describes ecstasy or MDMA, how you might feel, loved up, alert, energized, and or anxious, panicky, paranoid, effects on your body, tingly, confused, faster heart rate, higher body temperature, how long it takes to work, 20 to 30 minutes on average, how long it lasts, 2 to 4 hours. And then it goes on to the common risks. And then it talks about mixing drugs, right? And it says mixing drugs is always risky, but some mixtures are more dangerous than others. And then you can literally click on a whole bunch of different kinds of drugs that you can mix it with. So let's just say, for example, PCP, angel dust. If you mix that with ecstasy, it can increase the risk of anxious thoughts and feelings. And mixing any hallucinogen with a stimulant makes it harder to judge the effect each drug is having. It might mean you take more of each drug than you meant to. I mean, like, that's
really decent advice. Good. Yeah.
Let people know what they're getting into, and you know, they're probably more likely to make a better choice because it's an informed choice, you know. But yeah, no, so shall we get back to maybe the effects MDMA? Yeah, so we've kind of gone over generally the effects. It's kind of euphoria, you know, can feel an increased body temperature, all these sorts of things. And then people tend to take a sort of second dose. Like, you know, we said people take sort of 1 to 2 pills. People will probably take a second dose when the first one starts to die out. And can you think of any problems with that? Like any safety issues potentially?
Well, firstly, you don't know how much you're taking, and you don't know how much, well, you don't know how much is left in your system. So you don't know what the combined dosage you've taken is.
Bingo.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally just combining doses is, it's, there's a reason that there's a whole sort of thing in hospitals for working stuff out like that, right? Or for checking that stuff, because combining doses of different drugs or combining doses of the same drug can be dangerous because, you know, one's hitting you as the other one's leaving, but they're can kind of come in waves. There can be a spike. Anything could happen. Yeah. And again, I just want to say, you know, don't do drugs, but if you do them safely. Don't increase doses willy-nilly. Don't consider, do consider your body weight, tolerance, and the toxicity. Test. Use them in a safe environment. Never lie to paramedics or doctors. And, you know, what I said about the police, I don't know. Tell them the truth, maybe.
Vibe it out.
Unless they're going to arrest you for, you know, having an overdose, then don't do that.
Yep.
What are the risks of MDMA?
Okay, so the ones I've read about, firstly, the obvious one we've already spoken about is that it's not just MDMA. Mm. And that seems like a silly thing. And it's a little bit of a frustrating one from the perspective of talking about which drugs are safe, because the idea that MDMA might be mixed with something else is not a risk of MDMA. It's a risk of it in reality.
In theory,
It's not an in theory risk, but it is in reality, it is genuinely a risk. But then the actual risks of the specific substance MDMA, I think you spoke on that Talk to Frank website, it said like increased body temperature. And so I think what I've read about is the idea that people feel very hot and they drink a lot of water. They feel hot and thirsty. They drink a lot of water. And people sometimes like drown from drinking too much water having had MDMA, which is, I mean, I don't know how the hell that would feel, but that's what I've read.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. You've skipped ahead a little bit. You've given away the game. There was a whole story arc there, but never mind, Luke. We'll skip to the ending. No, you're so right. Basically, not just because of sort of what MDMA does to you, right? Yeah, it can increase sort of your body temperature, heart rate, all those sorts of things, right? Cause you to sweat and everything like that. In what situations do people often take MDMA?
Partying.
And is partying a sort of strenuous warm activity or a nice... Yeah, it's a strenuous warm activity, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically, you know, vigorous sort of exertion, sort of exercise, right? Coupled with a drug that increases your body temperature already. And so, yeah, you feel thirsty, then you drink. And it's not quite drowning. But
right, water is, overdose.
Yeah, essentially water over. If it could be hyperthermia, so the opposite of hypothermia. You know, your body just overheats. And you know, it's not even just so like, you know, don't do a pill in Ibiza, but it's not even safe to like if you're feeling like you're overheating and dehydrating, which you can die from dehydration or from overheating. It's not safe to then just be like, cool, I'm going to drink a ton, because you'll probably be drinking alcoholic beverages, which one, don't actually hydrate you that well.
Yeah.
Two, will have other adverse effects with the MDMA. And even if you're not drinking alcoholic beverages and you're just drinking water, yeah, you can literally overdose on water. There's too much of a good thing, right? You know, too much is quite literally the point at which something turns from okay to not okay.
Yeah.
And that can happen with water. And especially it's not just because you're drinking too much water and we've got like we as humans have like a low tolerance for how much water we can drink. MDMA, I believe, also causes you to retain more water as well. So apparently, essentially, you can have a sort of like sodium imbalance from, you know, like electrolyte imbalance from drinking too much water, which can then cause problems like kidney failure, swelling of the brain and whatnot. And because also, you know, MDMA can make you retain water, you can get, like I said, that sort of swelling in the brain, so many more problems caused by trying to cool yourself down by drinking a lot. So it the crazy thing with this is that it can kind of go either way, where it's like you can die from overheating and dehydration, or you can die from overheating and, you know, overhydration. It's very dangerous. And that's kind of particularly, you know, its use in those environments, especially when mixed with alcohol, right? It's just not super safe. In fact, alcohol was implicated in 75% of all MDMA-related emergency department presentations in 2008 to 2010 in Australia.
Wow.
Apparently, yeah. Which is madness.
And I think as well, when we're talking about not mixing drugs, I think we need to remind people that alcohol is a drug, because we don't consider it a drug. But don't mix drugs includes alcohol. Mm. It includes caffeine.
Nicotine.
It includes SSRIs, antidepressants. It includes your ADHD medication, mm-hmm. if you have that. Like, this stuff is not safe. You are increasing your risk when you mix it with any other
chemical substance. Changes the sort of chemical balance or operation of your body. Yeah, no, definitely very important to mention.
We're going
to
get onto this later, but I think SSRIs in particular are very dangerous with MDMA.
Yeah, we'll get onto that in just a sec. I mean, just broadly, because I don't think we've actually specifically covered this, just broadly, the sort of health effects that you can have with MDMA would be, you know, it's very rare to have sort of an overdose from MDMA. Like, it's not super common for that specifically itself to OD on. It's mixing it with other things, obviously, as we said. But high blood pressure, faintness, panic attacks, loss of consciousness, and seizures in sort of more extreme cases would be the effects of an overdose of MDMA. And then also the sort of, you know, gurning, sort of like jaw clenching thing, sort of chewing, that sort of like that. It's as far as I can tell, there's no real sort of long-term bad thing to do with your jaw there. I don't know. Nothing is immediately sort of popped up, and I did not have the time, unfortunately, to specifically look into gurning on its own. But it's at the very least, it can cause acute pain, right? Lack of appetite as well. Depersonalization can also be a result. Disorganized thoughts, nausea, hot flashes, chills, headaches, sweating, muscle or joint stiffness. And it's, as I said, it's relatively safe in terms of recreational drugs, right? Like, I'm not going to lie to you about that. It's relatively safe compared to other drugs. You know, we've talked about heroin and things there, right? MDMA, relatively safe drug. And it's not just me saying that. It is literally the opening line of a paper that I read. But to be clear, I will read you the full quote, because it kind of changes what I've just said there, right? That's important. Someone says, this is something that I read, look up the full quote. Always look up the full quote. But here's the full quote for you. Although MDMA, ecstasy, is a relatively safe recreational drug and is currently considered for therapeutic use in for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and alcohol use disorder, AUD, recreational MDMA use occasionally elicits hyperthermia and hyponatremia, which sometimes with a fatal outcome, right? So it's not sat there saying, this is fine, don't worry about it. It's saying, yeah, it's relatively safe. It can be used therapeutically, but also it can be dangerous, particularly when mixed with other things. And this is from a paper called Hard-Boiled Alcohol Use as a Risk Factor for MDMA-Induced Hyperthermia, a Systematic Review from 2021. So literally a study on mixing alcohol with MDMA. We've kind of covered most of the sort of broad risks of it, other than, you know, the sort of the SSRI one that we'll get to later, because there's kind of one thing we kind of need to touch on before we can really understand that, and that's kind of how MDMA works. Do you know how MDMA works at all?
Broadly, what I understand it to be is that it works on some part of your brain to make it release loads of serotonin. So your serotonin being sort of, in theory, the drug which makes you feel nice. Drug as in like internal, what is it, a hormone?
A neurotransmitter,
that's it. It makes you feel, stuff's good, I'm safe. It releases loads of that into the system, and then you feel, stuff's good, I'm safe. Mm. You actually might not be safe, as we've shown here. But is that kind of broadly what it does?
Yeah, so it's a stimulant. It increases at least three neurotransmitters in the brain. Increases the activity of them. And neurotransmitters are what, Luke? Do you know what they are? Description for everyone.
They're like chemicals that are released from one part of the brain to another part of the brain, and they kind of send like a little message like, stuff's fine or stuff's not fine, or some other message that they might send.
Yeah, it's broadly, yeah, yeah, chemical messengers, absolutely. And specifically the ones we're talking about here, serotonin, which you've kind of already discussed, that has sort of, does mood regulation, works in appetite, you can find it in your gut, your CNS, loads of places, right? Sleep, pain, look, neurotransmitters, they don't just do one thing, they have many jobs, and I'm not going to sit and pretend that I understand how all of those jobs work, because I am not a brain scientist. I am merely a man with at least part of a brain. But it's not just serotonin. It is dopamine and norepinephrine, which is dopamine's best friend. And it's not dissimilar from other amphetamines. In fact, I think pretty much all amphetamines do this. MDMA, it basically just increases how much they're released, those neurotransmitters, but then also blocks their reuptake. So you just, yeah, as you're saying, flood your brain with these neurotransmitters, ones that just make you feel energized and happy and, oh, good, and, oh, yes, things are all nice and all of that sort of stuff, right? Which is why it's used in the way that it's used, right? Mm-hmm. Therapeutically to aid in therapy, recreationally to aid in having a good old boogie with some friends, making house music sound enjoyable, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's probably that sort of increased release of serotonin that causes the effects that we see in MDMA. And, you know, specifically, it's serotonin that's released more so than the other two I mentioned. Serotonin is really the primary one with MDMA. And that's also why people kind of have a come down. Do you know what I might be getting at there?
Well, they've used up all your serotonin. So, like, you've not got unlimited of this stuff. Once you've released it and it's been cleared away, it's got to be remade.
Mm-hmm. From tryptophan, I think.
From tryptophan, 5-HTP, these parts of the body, these, what are they called? Precursors. Mm-hmm. So you've got to make it again. And so if you've used up, like, 3 days worth of your serotonin in one night, you're then going to have 3 days where you don't have a lot of serotonin left.
Not necessarily. You're so right. The only thing I'm going to say is it's not necessarily you use up 3 days worth and then for 3 days you don't have enough.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true
or not. It might also be that your body's just not releasing any because you've done something funny to it with the drug. It thinks it doesn't need to release as much.
Decrease sensitivity to it.
But the effect is you've used up 3 days worth of happy and you not get any happy for 3 days.
Broadly, yeah. I don't want to be too nitpicky, but yeah, that's basically it. You use up, it's kind of like, it's not really like a hangover. It's how people might describe a hangover. You use up all your fun in one night when you're drunk. And then you have less fun for the following day, right?
Yeah.
But basically, yeah. And that kind of brings us on to the SSRI thing you were talking about, which, you know, it's serotonin syndrome, which, do you know anything about serotonin syndrome?
Yes, this is basically where you have released way too much serotonin and it's very dangerous and you can genuinely die from it. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that the way that this is happening with an SSRI is if ecstasy is going in your body and is making your brain release more serotonin and not reuptake the serotonin, i.e. not clear it away, that's kind of also what your SSRI is doing. So you've basically just taken a double dose of the same thing. So you've got loads of serotonin sloshing around and that's very dangerous.
Yeah. So SSRI stands for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Which, yeah, basically, if you flood your brain with... If you think about it this way, right? Probably an easy way to picture it is if your brain is a bath, right? Mm. And serotonin is the water in the bath. If you turn the taps on full and then also, you know, get your hose from outside and shove that in there and then get the bathroom taps and all, you just put as many sources of water into that bath as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
That bath might overfill. It might not. It depends on the drainage rate, right? If you pop a plug in, that bath's overfilling, right? It's more likely to overfill more quickly. And, you know, that's kind of the case there where you're flooding your brain with serotonin along with taking something that causes it to stick around longer.
Mm.
And then, yeah, it can have a lot of negative effects to some degree. You know, the sort of farthest extent of it is death. It can be fatal, but you can also have mild effects of it. I've got some information on how this works, but you know, broadly, you know, you can be anywhere from sort of like having altered mental state to, like, yeah, literal sort of death. Like, the way I've heard it described is your muscles basically sort of, like, melting. I think it's from, like, overactivity and stuff, you know. But, yeah, broadly, most cases of serotonin syndrome will be totally fine within 1 to 3 days with no sort of real lasting effects. That's if it's treated properly and you can essentially do like a stomach pump, but for serotonin in your body, right? Okay. Like essentially like get a bucket and start scooping water out of that bath, then it might not overflow. And so if you manage to do that, like remove sort of what's causing this problem, yeah, and when I say bucket getting out serotonin, it's probably removing the MDMA or the SSRIs from your system or doing what they can to limit, you know, the amount of serotonin flooding your system. That'd be the case. If you don't have any symptoms, so 6 to 8 hours after an overdose, you're unlikely to develop significant toxicity. That's basically a direct quote from my notes there. And to be clear, SSRIs on their own, you're not likely to get serotonin syndrome and die from an SSRI on its own. However, most of the fatalities with serotonin syndrome, most of the fatalities with SSRIs and serotonin syndrome come with mixing it with other drugs, mm-hmm. right? Not necessarily specifically MDMA, but MDMA is one of those drugs that can cause that. And most, you know, sort of deaths, if it does result in death, will happen within the first 24 hours. But also, I've got on my notes. I forgot this, and it's right in front of me, so I'll read it out for you, Luke. It's more likely in patients on MAOIs than SSRIs.
So that's a different antidepressant you're given if SSRIs don't work. It's called a monoamine oxidase inhibitor. Mm-hmm. We spoke about this before. It does something in your stomach to stop something getting processed, or like, because your stomach like breaks stuff down and turns it into other things. And the that does something there. But I can't remember what it does. But the effect of it is essentially similar to an antidepressant.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is an antidepressant. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
sorry. Yes.
An SSRI. Yeah. Yeah. No. Sorry. I just want to be clear for anyone that might be listening.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. You're so right. And that's broadly MDMA. I mean, we could probably do an entire episode on MDMA therapy. Really, what I want to say right now about MDMA therapy is generally sort of used for PTSD, sort of things like that. I think depression as well, psychotherapy. And as far as I can tell, fairly decent results, right? Like, if you've got a drug that can make someone more open, feel more safe, more willing to sort of participate in therapy, you know, it's not even that the drug itself is necessarily making someone happier. Mm. It's just putting them in a position where, like, here, your brain's flooded with this thing that can make you feel safe and happy and good, and now let's do the work, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, that makes sense to me. I don't think we should be scared of, you know, using substances to aid us in ways like that, especially since we're so bloody used to using substances that are just actively harmful, alcohol, nicotine, and so on and so forth, right? Like, those are all perfectly fine. It kind of baffles me that there's such a public outcry against using sort of these sort of scary drugs in beneficial ways, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think we generally would be, or genuinely would be, better off if these things weren't, you know, completely illegal, and we were studying how to use them therapeutically, because we've been handed like magic. It's a relatively safe drug that just makes you really happy.
Yeah.
Like, and the only downside is that if you have a lot of it, you feel worse over the following few days.
Yeah.
But again, in sort of clinical conditions, you can do it such that's limited, right?
Yeah.
By taking the right supplements and taking the right doses and you know, low doses, and being careful and cautious with it, and using it as an aid for therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've read like bits about this where like MDMA therapy can like cure smoking addiction, for example, in like one or two sessions. It can like significantly reduce the effects of PTSD in like one or two sessions. And it's like you could imagine at worst you had to book a week off work. You take a week out to fix a problem you've had for 20 years. That is so incredibly worth it, especially if you've tried every antidepressant under the sun, you spent thousands of pounds on therapy, and it's genuinely affecting your ability to work, to have friends, to just everything.
Mm.
It's so frustrating that this isn't more widely available.
Yeah, just don't tell the US Army that, or I guess the UK Army, because you know what will happen. Send people to war. Oh, they got PTSD? Put them in the PTSD cure for a week and send them back out to war.
Yeah.
If we can't control their minds, we'll control their minds. Yeah. No, but I mean, you're so right, man. Like it like that is, and look, yeah, I don't want to say this is a magic bullet. It can cure PTSD in a week, right? But in, and I know that's not what you're saying as well, by the way. But there likely are cases wherein, you know, the limiting factor in someone getting the most out of therapy, of overcoming these sort of mental disorders, diseases, all of these things that are like affecting them, the sort of limiting factor is their ability to sort of be open
mm-hmm.
to the healing of that sort of therapy, right? Because it's not easy to open up in therapy. It's not easy to be honest. Mm. It's not easy to sort of be so vulnerable, especially when you've been hurt, right? And that's what you're trying to talk about, reliving that stuff. But again, if there's a drug that we know is good at helping people work through that stuff, why aren't we... What? That's all I got to say on it.
Yeah.
There's just one thing left to do. The quickfire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. MDMA edition.
So the rules for quickfire quiz are the same as always. Luke will ask one question. That's one question between you and the audience. The first person to answer the question after finishing asking it wins. What do they win, Luke?
Not some MDMA, some therapy.
Thank you for clarifying that there's no MDMA with the therapy. I'm now worried that you are handing out MDMA to people.
Only to the winner.
You just said not that. Okay, right. The question is, what does MDMA stand for?
Oh, God. methylphenidate aminase.
What does the last MA stand for? I said it several times.
I don't know, Gary.
So I'm not even going to look, right? 3-4 methyl dioxy methamphetamine.
Oh, methamphetamine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's just I think that means meth, so.
What a place to end. Well, that is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to executive producer Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe to new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice new review? Support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys. Or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com. SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me into the back alley. I'll get you some... goodbye.
YouTube, don't demonetize us for that nonsense, please. Don't do drugs.
Don't demonetize us. How are we going to spend all of our money? No. Sorry.
You know they check the starts and the ends. This was educational. Do not do drugs. Goodbye.
Bye.